This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A divided Supreme Court upheld the broadest restrictions on campaign donations in nearly 30 years Wednesday, ruling the nation is better off with limits on the financial influence of deep-pocket donors, even if money never can be divorced from politics. Rooting out corruption or even the appearance of it justifies limitations on the free speech and free spending of contributors, candidates, and political parties, the court said in a 5-4 decision. Plans to deploy the 1st Battalion of Iraq's new army are in doubt because a third of the soldiers trained by the U.S.-led occupation authority have quit, defense officials said Wednesday. Touted as a key to Iraq's future, the 700-man battalion lost some 250 men over recent weeks as they were preparing to begin operations this month, Pentagon officials said. The battalion was highly celebrated when the newly trained soldiers completed a 9-week basic training course in early October. The graduates, including 65 officers, were to be the core of an all-Iraqi army. It was uncertain exactly why a third abandoned their new jobs, though some had complained that the starting salary, $60 a month for privates, was too low. Officials in Baghdad said soldiers were angry after comparing their pay with the salaries of other forces. President Bush found himself in the awkward position on Wednesday of calling the leaders of France, Germany, and Russia to ask them to forgive Iraq's debts, just a day after the Pentagon excluded those countries and others from $18 billion in American-financed Iraqi reconstruction projects. White House officials were fuming about the timing and the tone of the Pentagon's directive, even while conceding that they had approved the Pentagon policy of limiting contracts to 63 countries that had given the United States political or military aid in Iraq. Many countries excluded from the list, including close allies like Canada, reacted angrily on Wednesday to the Pentagon action. They were incensed in part by the Pentagon's explanation in a memorandum that the restrictions were required for the protection of the essential security interest of the United States. More news after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Arvin, California Mayor Juan Olivares had just one request of a Kern County Sheriff's deputy during a traffic stop. Don't call me dude. Olivares planned to file an official complaint with the sheriff's office, seeking to have the deputy fired for what he called disrespectful behavior. The deputy stopped Olivares in Bakersfield on November 23rd. Olivares, who was driving, said he was ticketed for having illegally tinted windows on his vehicle, and a passenger received a citation for having an open container of beer. Olivares didn't dispute the charges. He just took issue with being called dude.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, A&E presents the 2003 Biography of the Year.
Thanks to my family for supporting me after I survived the Iraq ambush, and my fans for comforting me during my insider trading scandal. Oh, I'm not done. A shout out to my voice coach for helping me become America's favorite idol.
Only one will be Biography of the Year. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E, The Art of Entertainment.
Oh, it's to my fiance for the rocks that I got. Thanks, sweet.
Calling Law and Order. I don't mean the American ideal of justice. In this case, I'd settle for the Law and Order television show. I'm talking about a corporate story that would have made great television news, but the media missed it. Perhaps they were too busy covering George W. posing with the Queen of England on this same day to be able to cover a story about the theft of billions of dollars from us taxpayers. So why not call on fiction to give us the news? After all, Mark Twain observed, the difference between fact and fiction is that fiction has to be believable. This factual story of finagling seems unbelievable, but the fictitious Law and Order show would not have to stretch to dramatize it, for Senator Carl Levin provided all the drama a producer could want. KPMG, the accounting giant, was caught illegally designing and selling tax shelters whose sole purpose was to allow the wealthiest Americans to escape paying their taxes to Uncle Sam. In just 4 years, these rich folks dodged $1.4 billion in taxes they owed, and KPMG collected $124 million from them in tax avoidance fees. In November, KPMG was grilled by Senator Levin. In an investigative hearing, a supervising partner of KPMG's tax scam ducked and dodged, claiming he knew nothing. But Levin had internal emails, including one written by this guy, saying that the scams were, quote, designed to dodge taxes. The guy shucked and jived, trying to blame subordinates while also claiming that these were legitimate investments that only coincidentally allowed tax avoidance. But Levin leaned in, asking, did you write designed? Yes or no? The guy's voice grew tighter. Levin pressed harder. The Senate room grew silent. And the KPMG man finally whined, I don't know how to change my answer. Then, in a made-for-TV moment, Levin dryly said, try an honest answer. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that would have been great television.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. And the email address is, during the program, MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. Sorry about the last few minutes last night of the program. In order to cut expenses a couple of months ago, the UAW took us off. What's it called, Kathy? Took us off... ISDN and put us on a dial-up system between here in Detroit. And the dial-up system, of course, as you know, has a tendency to go down. And it did last night, right towards the end of the program. And a few minutes ago, it was a little bit difficult to connect. So trust me on this. If all of a sudden we're clipping along with the program here and it just, like, goes crazy and we're not here and they put something on in Detroit from a different show, we have not been zapped by... although it feels that way, we have not been zapped by the UAW or zapped by Ashcroft or zapped by anybody. It's literally technical difficulties. We have struggled here, Kathy and I, for the past 3 years to provide the program that we provide with a minimal, trust me on this, minimal amount of equipment. And have done a pretty damn good job. Kathy has. All I do is sit in here and jabber. But Kathy produces this program. It's amazing to me. And the engineer folks in Detroit on the other end. Now, none of us are management. Not the young people who engineer this program every single night in Detroit. You know, 800 miles from here. And Kathy, who sits down here and produces it. And I'm in the middle. I got the easy job. So that's what happened last night. And if it happens again, the folks in Detroit, and I call them young people. I hope I'm not irritating anybody. They are, you know. Hell, everybody's younger. Compared to me, everybody's young, right? Kathy's young, you know. But if we go down, they make an effort to get it back up. And if they cannot, Then they put on a tape. That's all they can do. That's all we can do. So did you have something to add to that, Catherine? No? Okay. Also, I wanted to say a get well to Tamara, who is one of our recent moderators at MikeMalloy.com. She's dealing with some health issues, and Tamara, if you're listening tonight, we're all pulling for you. Sport. What else do we got here? Tonight we're going to show you how Pretzel Boy gets the entire world pissed off at the United States again. This guy is amazing, isn't he? Oh, God, don't get me started. I don't want to do tonight what I did the first hour last night. Also, how Republicans go bad. It starts in their college years. And I've got a couple of stories here, one from Purdue I want to share with you. Also, we haven't done this for a while, I think since last week, some letters from listeners. And the question is out there now, what is Ralph Nader going to do this time? And that, you know, it does matter. The, you know, Republican thugs start early. They are taught from a very young age to lie, cheat, sneak, steal. For most young Republicans, all they have to do is watch their parents, if their parents are Republicans. Now, a lot of young Republicans right now are Republicans because they're pissed off at mommy and daddy, who happen to be, they'll be Democrats, or they'll be liberals, or they'll be Greens, or Naderites, or whatever. So these young snots will get away to college and figure out a way to strike back at mommy and daddy, so they become college Republicans. Now, some of them do that. Other ones are taught from the time they are, almost said, from the time they're nursing at their mother's breast, but Republican women don't nurse their babies. They feed them formula, which explains a lot. A lot of Republicans learn to be Republicans because they come from dysfunctional, psychopathic, crazed families. Well, our Northeast Indiana bureau chief, Sean, who never calls the program anymore, I don't know why, but he faxed me a news release from Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. Purdue University has placed that university's student chapter of college Republicans on probation today, following an investigation concerning allegations of improper handling of the organization's funds. See, they steal from each other. It doesn't make any difference. Republicans steal. They'll steal from veterans. They'll steal from children. They'll steal from the crippled. They'll steal from the blind. They'll steal from anybody that they can steal from, including themselves. So what they were doing is stealing from their own organization, College Republicans, the student chapter of College Republicans, in two fundraising events a semester. Now, this is a news release from Purdue University. In two fundraising events this semester, the College Republicans' ticketing and inventory processes were inadequate. That's according to Tamara Rice, Assistant Dean of Students. The organization members kept no records on the number of tickets sold and the amount of money raised, and the money raised was not deposited in the organization's account the way it's supposed to be. So this 150-member student group, College Republicans, will be on probation until April 30th. But this is where they learn their trickery and treachery, thievery, the sneakiness, the lying, the deception. They either learn it at home, or, like I said, they get away from home, and to strike back at mommy and daddy, who happen to be Democrats, they join these organizations like College Republicans. Now, a student organization at Purdue placed on probation means it's not in good standing with the university. The press release says failure to comply with established rules and regulations during the probationary period could result in a stricter sanction. So the snotty-ass College Republicans who even at this young – how old are they? College Republicans – 17, 18, 19, 20, right? 18, 19, 20, 20. At that young of an age, they are teaching themselves to lie, cheat, and steal. Well, they got caught. So now they're on probation. Now, what happens when they leave Purdue University? What happens till they get into the real world? Well, they become Republican congressmen, Republican businessmen, Republican whatever, factory workers who immediately figure out a way to cheat on their time cards. That's all Republicans do. Some of them become police superintendents, like Ed Norris, who became Maryland police superintendent after what the New York Times calls a celebrated crime-fighting record in New York City and Baltimore. He resigned yesterday after he was indicted on charges of using a Baltimore Police Department charity fund to pay for private gifts, private travel, and hookers. The New York Times says visits with girlfriends. Whores! That's what these people do. The governor of Maryland, Republican governor Robert Ehrlich, said he accepted the superintendent's resignation subject to reinstatement, implying that, this thug could have his job back if he's found not guilty. The U.S. attorney in Maryland told a news conference that as Baltimore's police commissioner from 2000 to 2002, Mr. Norris, along with his chief of staff, John Stendrini, stole about $20,000 to pay for more than 40 personal transactions. Now, what did they buy? According to the indictment, the expenses, mostly the police superintendent's, included stays at the Marriott Marquis Hotel in New York, meals at Smith & Wolensky, gifts from Victoria's Secret, Amtrak train trips for women from Baltimore to New York. I wonder what that was about. Long overtime hours for the men's bodyguards. The indictment said Norris and Stendrini routinely used EPU, that's the Executive Protection Unit, EPU members to transport Norris and female companions, including female number one, female number two, female number three, female number four, female number five, and female number six, in connection with romantic encounters at private residences and other locations in the Baltimore City area, including Stendrini's apartment in Baltimore City and in New York City and elsewhere. Well, if there is female one through six, and the New York Times says two more women were cited later, that sounds like the guy was a pimp. P-I-M-P, pimp. He's a pimp. The Maryland police superintendent is a pimp. God. And he's a Republican. Or do I repeat myself? I think I just did. Mr. Norris, who's 43, that's the police superintendent, and his consigliere, Stendrini, who is 60, were each charged with one count of conspiring to misapply funds and one count of misapplication of funds. They're also charged with making a false statement on a mortgage application, obstruction of justice. All these charges carry a maximum sentence of 10 years, which is really beside the point. I mean, we're so used to this, aren't we? Instance after instance of Republican thugs. And this guy is a pimp. The Maryland police superintendent is a pimp, P-I-M-P, pimp. The indictment says that within 4 months of taking office in May 2000, Mr. Norris, the pimp, and his right-hand man, Mr. Stendrini, were devising ways to build up and defraud the police department supplemental account, which in part is used as a charity for needy department employees. Have I said yet tonight how much I loathe these people? In a list of overt acts from June 2000 to July last year, the indictment lists 40 instances of spending for personal purposes, including all that stuff I mentioned, plus money for alcohol, probably drugs. The indictment also said Mr. Norris, the pimp Maryland police superintendent, bought lingerie and other items from Victoria's Secret from this account, and that he dispatched a bodyguard to New York in September 2001. September 2001, for Christ's sake, 3,000 people were dying in New York, and the pimp sends his guard up to, quote, facilitate romantic encounters. Oh, by the way, the indictment also accuses him and his gunsel of spending $413 for food and $963 for merchandise at one Yankees-Orioles baseball game. Now, where did they learn these acts in this back in college? In this instance, Purdue. And then they become the police superintendent of Maryland and become a pimp.
A form of suicide.
Republicans suck!
They suck!
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Half behaved badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed a breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. You close. Give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Boy, it never stops with Republicans, does it? The college Republicans at Purdue have been suspended because of their crappy behavior. And the state, the Maryland police superintendent, Ed Norris, resigned on Wednesday because he's been indicted for being a pimp. And you spell that P-I-L-M-P, a pimp. All right. God, these people are just How about Governor Schwarzenegger? How about him? You talk about this police superintendent being a pimp. Woo! Who sent this to me? There is a... the presidential prayer team is currently urging us to, quote, pray for the president as he seeks wisdom on how to legally codify the definition of marriage. Pray that it will be according to biblical principles. With any forces insisting on variant definitions of marriage, pray that God's word and his standards will be honored by our government, end quote. Okay? That's how it starts out. Now, any good religious person, says here, believes prayer should be balanced by action. So here, in support of the prayer team's admirable goals, is a proposed constitutional amendment codifying marriage entirely on biblical principles. A. Marriage in the United States shall consist of a union between one man and one or more women. That's from Genesis 29, verses 17 through 28, and 2 Samuel 3, verses 2 through 5. B. Marriage shall not impede a man's right to take concubines in addition to his wife or wives. That's from 2 Samuel 5, verse 13, and 1 Kings 11, verse 3, and 2 Chronicles 11, verse 21. C. A marriage shall be considered valid only if the wife is a virgin. If the wife is not a virgin, she shall be executed. That's from Deuteronomy 22, verses 13 through 21. D. Marriage of a believer and a non-believer shall be forbidden. That's from Genesis 24, verse 3, Numbers 25, verses 1 through 9, Ezra 9, verse 12, and Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 30. E. Since marriage is for life, neither this Constitution nor the Constitution of any state, nor any state or federal law, shall be construed to permit divorce. That's from Deuteronomy 22, verse 19, and Mark 10, verse 9. F. If a married man dies without children, his brother shall marry the widow. If he refuses to marry his brother's widow, or deliberately does not give her children, he shall pay a fine of one shoe, and be otherwise punished in a matter to be determined by law. That's from Genesis and Deuteronomy. And G, in lieu of marriage, if there are no acceptable men in your town, it is required that you get your dad drunk and have sex with him, even if he had previously offered you up as a sex toy to men young and old. You must tag team with any sisters you might have. Of course, this rule applies only if you are female. And that is from Genesis 19, verses 31 through 36. Are we all on the same page here? You religious freaks, you right-wing, psychopathic, evangelical, Bible-thumping Christians that you want your Defense of Marriage Act? Well, then, do it right! Okay?
Then you can. Completed my life. I saw Jesus and Daddy in your loving eyes. I looked up when you put that ring on my hand, and I thank my God for one more perfect man.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
and fish are moving up the Mississippi River to find a place that seems more like home. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Two species of Asian carp were imported into the United States in the 1970s to clean up algae at fish farms in some southern states. The carp escaped and got into the Mississippi River through drainage systems, flooding, and runoff. The fish are like underwater vacuum cleaners, and people in the upper Midwest are worried about what they'll do as they swim upstream. Jerry Rasmussen is a biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He says the bighead and silver carp eat huge amounts of tiny plants and animals known as plankton. Rasmussen says they're eating up the stuff native fish need to survive.
All young fish feed on the small plankton, so a species coming in and consuming huge volumes of this material obviously is going to impact the system significantly.
Rasmussen says the carp are moving north to find waters that are more like their native homes in China. The carp could enter the Great Lakes through a canal in Chicago that connects the watershed of the Mississippi River to Lake Michigan.
The southern end of the silver carp range in China is really right about the latitude of Chicago. And so we feel that the reason we're seeing this northward migration of these critters is that they're looking for more desirable, cooler water habitats that they like better. And so if they got through Chicago, through the canal there, they could potentially spread all the way far into Canada.
An electric barrier has been built in the Chicago Canal to try to stop the carp. Elsewhere in the upper Midwest, people are starting to worry about what will happen as the fish move further up the Mississippi and reach the many rivers and streams that feed into it. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
A couple of weeks ago, I posted animation, a video at my website, Mission Accomplished, and it was put together by a guy named Eric Bloomrich. Great video. BuzzFlash, BushFlash.com, not BuzzFlash, BushFlash.com. And Eric just sent me this email. He says, I'll keep this quick. A right-wing website has posted threats against my life and is offering a prize for the person who first tells the website that I've had an, quote, unfortunate accident. They posted a MapQuest.com map of my neighborhood with a big red star over my house. Why? Because of my Mission Accomplished animation, which you linked to. Dennis Kucinich is using it as an ad on his site. After the issuance of these threats, I called his campaign, and within 5 minutes I got a call back from Dennis Kucinich himself. I don't know exactly what recourse I can take against this, but I'm exploring what venues I can, given my limited resources. But I think that Kucinich's help in this matter is an extraordinary act. My respect for him has grown immeasurably. Should I give out the right-wing website? It's www.nicedoggy.net, nicedoggy.net, N-I-C-E doggy, D-O-G-G-I-E, nicedoggy.net. See, what a bunch of bastards. You know, if I said, let's go kill somebody, or posted on my website, I don't know what would happen to me, Kathy. IE America would probably let me go quicker than the plan is now, since we're all bailing out of here at the end of February. But I would probably get in trouble with authorities. But these right-wing websites, you know, I don't know. All right-wingers, all Republicans are killers, liars, thieves, sneaks, murderers, deceivers. They're filth. They can do it. They can do it. You know, Dick Cheney can crawl over the corpses in Iraq looking for oil and how to make money for Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root. And Rumsfeld can kick aside the children of the dead soldiers back here in the United States. And George Bush can send them a form letter when their father, husband, sister, mother, or son dies. These people can get away with this. And this pukey-ass website can issue death threats against an artist and offer a prize for the first person who tells the website that they've had an unfortunate accident, that Eric has had an unfortunate accident, because he put together the Mission Accomplished animation. Have you all seen it? If you go to bushflash.com, it's probably there. It's called Mission Accomplished. I had it on my website. It's in my archives. I think we put it up in November. It's just astonishing. I sat there and I watched it, and I could barely handle it. There's some stuff being done with animation on the Internet by guys like Eric Blumrich that is just astonishingly good. Incredibly good. So these little preverts over at nicedoggy.net have done this. They publish a MapQuest map of Eric's neighborhood with a big red star over his house. Well, Eric wants to know what he can do. See, I that's one of the reasons I know my liberal listeners and friends just hate this, but I'm sorry. I got enough of this crap years ago here in Atlanta when I worked with WSB. You will never find me more than about 20 feet away from all kinds of firepower. And I don't, you know, I hate to say that. I hate to say it. I wish it weren't true. I told you I raised my kids where none of them ever were around guns, not even cap guns, nothing. Well, they didn't realize they were around guns. They were in the house, but they never saw them. And when Chris, who is now 24, when he was a kid, not even a cap gun for Christmas. I was a single parent, and his mom lived here in Atlanta, and, you know, the other side of town, and I just said, Vicky, at Christmas, I don't care what you get, Chris, no guns, no toy guns, nothing. So I'm not trying to come across as, you know, some kind of a weirdo here, but Eric, what I would advise you to do is what I was told to do by 10 years ago by a lieutenant in the Atlanta, in the terrorist division. Yeah, they had one 10 years ago, the Atlanta Police Department. Lieutenant came out and said, and I've told the story before, after enough of these death threats by these right-wing suckers that live over here in Cobb County, Georgia, he said, Mr. Malloy, we can't tell you to do this, but I advise that you get licensed, get a weapon, learn how to use it, handgun, learn how to use it, and keep it close by. And I did. I went to DeKalb County Firing Range and spent, I can't tell you how many Saturdays, working my way up through pistols and rifles. So, Eric, the only thing I can tell you, pal, when these people threaten you, I don't know, a lot of people say ignore them. They're jackasses. Just ignore them. Okay, that's one way to handle it. But I will guarantee you, and in so many instances, they're just cowards anyway. They're just little twerps and cowards. Eric didn't put down here where he lives. Here in the South, they are really cowards because they've had 150 years, 200 years of sneaking around terrorizing people of color. But to me, the best way to handle something like that, you look at the threat, you assess it, you say, okay, all right, I hear you. If you want to get ass, you got to bring ass. And when you come, just understand something. You're probably going to go home in an envelope. Now, I know that sounds really crappy. That's, listen to this liberal talking like some kind of a freak. like some free republic right-wing thug. Sorry. This is Bush's America, and I ain't no fool. So, Eric, that's all I can say. Thanks for letting me know. And if you haven't seen his animation, Mission Accomplished, go to bushflash.com and check it out. Amazing work. Russ in where? Southern California? Mike, whatever happened to that terror threat advisory system? Remember when we had all the terror threats like every other week and the Bush thugs had America on orange alert? I haven't heard much about those smallpox shots either we were all supposed to take. I guess we'll have to wait until we get closer to election time. Whee! Love the show. Peace. Russ in, I guess, it's Southern California. All right. I've got some more, but let's get some of these calls in here. Kurt is listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, one of our over-the-road truckers. Kurt, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello, sir. I'm intending to ask all of the different hosts on this station or whatever the same question, but a couple questions. Considering all the shenanigans that W is pulling and the apparent ignorance of the general American populace, where is the educators or the exposers left? Why is the news not getting out to the general populace? Where is the Democrats? Where's now Sierra Club, Nader?
Well,
whoever has a platform or whatever, not platform, but a place to speak, why are they not educating the public?
Oh, they are. They are, Kurt. The problem here is that the media in this country is about 97-98% right-wing, neo-Nazi or fascist or whatever you want to call it. So in order for this information from the liberals or the political left to get out, you have to be kind of enterprising. There are all kinds of websites that handle this. There are columnists, there are writers, there are people who develop animation, there are lecturers, there's Michael Moore, there are people writing books, Al Franken, Michael Moore, Sidney Blumenthal, the list goes on and on and on. Now, if you really want to know, anytime you want to, go to my website, MikeMalloy.com, and on the main page, on the left, you'll see resources. Click that button, and you'll have a list of 50 or 60 websites that are getting the information out. It's just that mainstream media is not doing it. And it's a shame, but that doesn't mean that liberals and Democrats and people on the left are not fully aware of what's going on. Now, we're outnumbered, and we lost, you know, we don't have the presidency, we don't have the House, we don't have the Senate, we don't have the media, we don't have the judicial system. Not now, we don't. That's going to change. If America is to survive, that's going to change. I'm not saying everything has to go liberal or Democrat or left. I'm saying there has to be a balance. So there are literally scores of websites, columnists, writers, artists, poets, commentators who are getting the message out. You're just not going to hear them or see them on ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, or Fox. Or the Washington Post, the New York Times, with a few exceptions. There are a few writers at the Post, the Times, the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune. But you have to, the Des Moines, Iowa Register, you have to look. You have to be willing to sort through all this right-wing drivel to find the message. It is there, Kurt. It's there.
If I may, I got a couple more questions.
Sure.
If the Republican or conservative right, whatever, is more successful at this, why does not the left side adopt some of their tactics? Why don't they create some kind of a publicity scene stunt of some sort?
The quick answer is Democrats are, first of all, they have more honor and ethical attitudes toward our political system than Republicans do. The longer answer is this is a media-driven society. I think anybody who understands how America 2003 works will agree. This is media-driven. That's why you go anywhere you want to right now in terms of media, and you'll see a story on Michael Jackson, for Christ's sake. So this is media-driven, and the media is owned. It's a lockdown by the right wing. You know, when Dennis Kucinich exposes Diebold touchscreen voting systems as being fraudulent,
And the media do not report on it. They report on 80 women who want to date him because he's single. That should
right.
tell. That should speak volumes.
Right. If I made a couple other things, too, that just being a number out of the hat, I'll say roughly the vast majority, but I'll say 80% of the American populace could care less, and they're not getting beyond Simpsons and Friends. That's as intellectual as they ever get. But another question, though. Still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Another question, though, is that I can understand Bush and a few handful of his cronies pulling some of this stuff, but how can so much of the right side of the Congress or whatever go along with this or be implicit in it or be hoodwinked by it? Or do they just as guilty or passing the Medicare thing?
Mm-hmm.
How can they be so ignorant or so stupid or whatever? I can see Bush and a handful. But I don't understand it. I'm just lost on it.
Well, again, there's a short answer and a long answer. The short answer I'll try to give you. Every Republican in Congress, whether it's in the House or the Senate, every single Republican, with maybe four or five exceptions, so I'm talking about a couple of hundred people, are there because one of six or seven corporate entities put them there, either the energy industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the timber industry, the medical establishment industry, whatever. There is not a Republican with five or six or maybe ten exceptions out of hundreds who are there because they were freely elected by the public. They are there because they were given millions upon millions of dollars to buy ads on television that totally distorted their positions, that totally distorted the positions of their Democratic opponents, and so confused Americans who, on the run, glance at a TV screen and see that a Democrat has just been convicted of raping children, although it's not true, but it's run by a Republican. It sticks, and when that voter, if he or she goes into a voting booth, votes against the child-raping Democrat. Even though no rape occurred, this is how it works. But there's not a Republican who, with five or six or eight or nine exceptions, there's not a Republican in Congress who's going to stand up and say, "No, I'm not going to vote for this ripoff of the prescription drug plan and Medicare."
Right.
Why should they? They'd be biting the hand that fed them.
Right. And they just take turns trading around between lobbyists, congressmen, CEO, or whatever, back and forth, round and round.
There you go.
One other quick question is, I caught a tail piece last night. It's something about IE going down. What's that about? I didn't hear more about it.
It looks that way. You never know. Somebody may, the UAW is getting out of the broadcast business. The UAW owns IE America. Now, somebody may buy this network, and we may continue. That I don't know. That's way above my pay grade. But I can tell you this, that as of February 27th, the UAW tanks this network. If somebody else steps in, some other entity steps in and buys it, we'll continue to broadcast. If no one does, we're out of here.
Okay. Well,
all right. Thanks, Kurt. Hope you call again. By the way, that was Kurt's first call, right? Excuse me while I do some Dristan. Ooh. Oh, God.
Boy, to everyone out there eating dinner right now, may I please apologize on behalf of Mike Malloy for making squirting up his nose noises on the radio.
Kathy.
And we're wondering why the UAW is considering getting out of the radio.
Kathy, people do not eat dinner and listen to this program. The audience that listens to this program is way too smart to do that. Because they know that, you listen to this program, you're going to get gut spasms, and that's just not healthy. And the UAW is getting out of the broadcast business because they don't understand the broadcast business and could not figure out how to turn this thing into a success. That's why they're getting out. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Be very careful. Stay tuned to your TV. There are ponies who are talking. There are wasters who read. There are people here who do not even own a TV.
Everything I know about my country, I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car, and my gun.
And the TV god watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world every night.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
About 4 and a half before the hour. Rich is calling from Morgantown, West Virginia. Rich, welcome to the program.
Michael, I love you so much, man. Just need to tell you, honest to Pete, man, finding a voice like yours is damn near biblical, man, and I ain't that way, you dig?
Well, that's very kind of you, Rich. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean it with all kindness and all love, brother. Michael, not that we should shift at all from the national scene because it's so dire right now.
Right.
But I have wanted for a couple of weeks to ask you your take on an international matter.
Sure.
Was when Nelson Mandela came out strong there in a speech on International AIDS Day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a take on why he did not speak up when Thabo Mbeki made those ridiculous statements? And I do not mean to be racist, man. It's just
It's not racist. I think part of it is cultural. Mbeki's position. Mbeki. Somebody got inside Mbeki's head and tried to convince him, and did a damn good job of it. That HIV was not in any way linked to AIDS. It is a cultural thing, and I don't think it's being racist at all to say that. And Mbeki has come around now.
Yeah, he has, but goodness gracious, Mike, we're talking about 10 years.
I know.
A decade.
I know. It's been awful. Now,
yeah, it's been terrible.
Now, as far as...
I can't glom the vast parabola there with no needle spike in it from Nelson. You know, why did he not come out and say, hey, Thabo, get real here, man.
Well, I think part of the reason, again, is that Mandela, he lives there. He doesn't want to undercut...
his appointed...
Right. He doesn't want to undercut the government after a couple of hundred years of white domination and apartheid. These folks are struggling. By these folks, I mean in any society where you go from a form of racist totalitarianism, it doesn't even have to be racist, it can be just totalitarianism, and then the majority of the people finally get a chance at self-government. It takes a while. Jesus, it's
taken... Oh, my gosh, yes, to establish the institutions,
right.
The re-attitudinization. It's incredible the type of psych mores and social mores that have to undergo a complete
that's
transformation.
Right. And I think that's what Mandela was trying to respect. And thank God, Mbeki has finally come around. Hey, listen, let me put you on hold for a second. We have to take a break here. We'll come back and finish this up. And then on to your the other phone calls here, too. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is my
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A divided Supreme Court upheld the broadest restrictions on campaign donations in nearly 30 years Wednesday, ruling the nation is better off with limits on the financial influence of deep-pocket donors, even if money never can be divorced from politics. Rooting out corruption or even the appearance of it justifies limitations on the free speech and free spending of contributors, candidates, and political parties, the court said in a 5-4 decision. Plans to deploy the 1st Battalion of Iraq's new army are in doubt because a third of the soldiers trained by the U.S.-led occupation authority have quit, defense officials said Wednesday. Touted as a key to Iraq's future, the 700-man battalion lost some 250 men over recent weeks as they were preparing to begin operations this month, Pentagon officials said. The battalion was highly celebrated when the newly trained soldiers completed a 9-week basic training course in early October. The graduates, including 65 officers, were to be the core of an all-Iraqi army. President Bush found himself in the awkward position on Wednesday of calling the leaders of France, Germany, and Russia to ask them to forgive Iraq's debts. Just a day after the Pentagon excluded those countries and others from $18 billion in American-financed Iraqi reconstruction projects. White House officials were fuming about the timing and the tone of the Pentagon's directive, even while conceding that they had approved the Pentagon policy of limiting contracts to 63 countries that had given the United States political or military aid in Iraq. President Nixon apparently didn't think much of Ronald Reagan, calling his fellow California Republican strange and an uncomfortable man to be around, according to White House tapes released Wednesday. The comments are included in 240 hours of Nixon White House tape recordings from July through October 1972 that were released by the National Archives. Nixon is heard discussing his re-election campaign, ways to end the Vietnam War, and the Watergate scandal that eventually brought down his administration. In an interview years later, Nixon was quoted as saying Reagan's economic policies were unduly harsh and cautioned against giving him too much credit for winning the Cold War. More news after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Arvin, California Mayor Juan Olivares had just one request of a Kern County Sheriff's deputy during a traffic stop. Don't call me dude. Olivares planned to file an official complaint with the sheriff's office, seeking to have the deputy fired for what he called disrespectful behavior. The deputy stopped Olivares in Bakersfield on November 23rd. Olivares, who was driving, said he was ticketed for having illegally tinted windows on his vehicle, and a passenger received a citation for having an open container of beer. Olivares didn't dispute the charges. He just took issue with being called dude. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, A&E presents the 2003 Biography of the Year.
Wow, what an honor. Thanks to my family for supporting me after I survived the Iraq ambush, and my fans for comforting me during my insider trading scandal. Oh, I'm not done. A shout out to my voice coach for helping me become America's favorite idol.
Only one will be Biography of the Year. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E, The Art of Entertainment.
Oh, it's to my fiancé for the rocks that I got. Thanks, sweetie.
Calling Law and Order. I don't mean the American ideal of justice. In this case, I'd settle for the Law and Order television show. I'm talking about a corporate story that would have made great television news, but the media missed it. Perhaps they were too busy covering George W. posing with the Queen of England on this same day to be able to cover a story about the theft of billions of dollars from us taxpayers. So why not call on fiction to give us the news? After all, Mark Twain observed, the difference between fact and fiction is that fiction has to be believable. This factual story of finagling seems unbelievable, but the fictitious Law and Order show would not have to stretch to dramatize it, for Senator Carl Levin provided all the drama a producer could want. KPMG, the accounting giant, was caught illegally designing and selling tax shelters whose sole purpose was to allow the wealthiest Americans to escape paying their taxes to Uncle Sam. In just 4 years, these rich folks dodged $1.4 billion in taxes they owed, and KPMG collected $124 million from them in tax avoidance fees. In November, KPMG was grilled by Senator Levin. In an investigative hearing, a supervising partner of KPMG's tax scam ducked and dodged, claiming he knew nothing. But Levin had internal emails, including one written by this guy, saying that the scams were, quote, designed to dodge taxes. The guy shucked and jived, trying to blame subordinates while also claiming that these were legitimate investments that only coincidentally allowed tax avoidance. But Levin leaned in, asking, did you write designed, yes or no? The guy's voice grew tighter. Levin pressed harder. The Senate room grew silent. And the KPMG man finally whined, I don't know how to change my answer. Then, in a made-for-TV moment, Levin dryly said, try an honest answer. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that would have been great television.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm going right there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll reach the earth.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Or email, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. And we were talking with Rich from Morgantown, West Virginia, about the craziness in the leadership of South Africa where it concerned the AIDS epidemic and AIDS issues. I think it's being handled in a way now by the government of South Africa, Rich, and they are using off-brand
ACT
generic pharmaceuticals in order, but what's missing is a public health service in South Africa that can go into.
What's also missing is the $15 billion that Bush promised.
Well, that's never.
Why quibble?
That's never going to happen.
No,
that's just another Bush lie. But I have a friend who lives here in Atlanta who works in public health. What he actually does. Is travel to South Asia, the African continent, certain parts of Central and South America.
Hot zones.
Right. Talking with the governments. He works, well, not governments, but the non-government organizations, talking with them about nutritional needs of children, how easy it is to add vitamin supplements to food staples.
Yeah.
He also works in trying to get the NGOs to work with the various governments to fight some of these diseases like childhood diarrhea that kills millions of children every
trying
year.
Trying to get everyone to fall back to earth.
That's it.
And honest to Pete, man, it's like an angel's work.
That's right. And
you know, it really is, Michael. It's just like an angel's work. They come down and they have to expect a miracle.
I know.
They really do. They bear their giant either or tiny wings down, depending upon their personal demeanor, and just say, we've got to do this.
I know.
Got to do this. And they believe, Michael, like you and I believe in stone.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just the way. It's just, goodness gracious, the kilter of society now is so distressing.
It is.
But
it
I can tell you one thing, brother.
Yeah?
And I mean this for true.
Yeah?
If I see one man that waves a flag and the banner of the United States that does it better than you, Michael, I will damn sure get with that man. Son, you're a patriot.
Well, thank you, Rich. Thanks
you
for checking in.
You welcome, brother.
I hope you
thank
call.
You.
Hope you call again.
Adios, amigo.
All right, sir. You take care. Now, my friend Jack, who works for Public Health Service, has told me that in so many of these countries, what is missing is not the spirit or the desire, but a public health infrastructure, the very public health infrastructure that in this country, the Bush crime family would like to defund and destroy. It's a sad fact. The only reason that the CDC gets adequate money is because there are enough of these lying, thieving, murderous Republicans in Congress who understand that if this country is ever hit with a massive outbreak of some hideous disease, their precious wives and children and husbands would be just as susceptible to death and destruction as Democrats and liberals, and that's the only reason it gets funded. But what is missing in so many of these countries is a public health infrastructure that can go into small towns and villages in the bush, in the outback, in the jungles, literally in the jungles of South Asia, India, Africa, various countries, and explain to people where tribal medicine linked with superstition. I do not diss tribal medicine. I think tribal medicine practiced by indigenous healers is a good thing. I think that's where most of our that's where our pharmaceutical companies steal these drugs. They just rip off these indigenous cultures and take what natives use from plants and sometimes animals and turn it into pharmaceuticals. So I'm not disrespecting by any means so-called primitive or tribal medicine, whatever you want to call it, but what is necessary when you have a plague like AIDS or Ebola or Lassa fever or Creutzfeldt-Jakob, you need education and you need a public health infrastructure, and that's what is lacking. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there, but I wanted to get that said. I just got an email from Frank in Fort Myers, Florida. I want to share it with you. He heard me talking about guns. I own guns. I will always, in this life, make sure I'm protected. But I also refuse to allow my children to play with toy guns while they were growing up. And Frank apparently heard that, and he said, Mike, we're having a demonstration in Naples, Florida, out front of Toys R Us. We are not targeting Toys R Us per se, but are targeting war toys in particular. I think this is a damn good idea. Frank goes on to say, could you ask people around the country to organize one in their hometowns? Militarism is a big problem, as you know. Thanks, Frank, Fort Myers, Florida. And in the email, he quotes Gandhi, if we are to reach a real peace in this world, and if we are to carry on a real war against war, we shall have to begin with the children. It's true. The press release here says it's Saturday, December 13th from 4 to 5:30 p.m. at the corner of Airport Road and Pine Ridge Road in Naples, Florida, near the Toys R Us. And the press release says, our message is that in order to achieve a world without war, we must begin with the children. Play is preparation for life. When we give children guns, action figures, and G.I. Joes, for what kind of a life are we preparing them? Ask the soldier who knows the pain. He will tell you, war, chocolate kisses, candy canes, a.k.a. rifles and toy grenades. What will Santa have in his bag for children this year? See, I happen to think this is an excellent, excellent idea. I hate war toys for the obvious reasons, the same reasons that Frank and this group hates war toys. They're awful. I mean, they're awful. They just are. So that's a good idea. Frank, thanks for sending in the email. If you live in the Fort Myers area this Saturday, day after tomorrow, 4 to 5:30 p.m., corner of Airport Road and Pine Ridge Road in Naples near the Toys R Us, And again, it's not necessarily a demonstration against Toys R Us, which wouldn't be a bad idea either, but against these war toys. Nelson is calling from Syracuse, New York. Nelson, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, man, where have you been? Haven't heard from you for a long time.
I'm glad you asked me that, because this time I'm going to give you an answer.
Okay.
I know that I don't do well on radio.
I think you do fine.
Well, for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah. Given the hand that you were dealt and how you deal with it, Nelson, I think you do fine.
But when I do call, it's because I've got something on my mind.
Absolutely.
That I really want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been going on with the Democratic candidates
right.
in this week is really starting to irritate me.
What's been going on with the Democratic candidates this week is starting to irritate you. Why?
Because, Mike, you don't trust the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust the media. 90% of the people
right.
who listen to your show probably don't trust the media.
I think that's a fair statement. We know that the media lies. All of it lies. All of it is conservative-controlled and neo-fascist.
And it's all manipulation.
Sure.
So when I see the media force-feeding us a candidate,
mm-hmm.
A Democratic candidate, I'm suspicious.
And are you talking about Dean?
Yes.
Well, but if you take a look at what they're doing, I don't think they're force-feeding Nelson. I think what they're doing is attacking him. During this last break, I looked at MSNBC, and I hate to, at this time of night, because this unindicted killer, Scarborough, Joe Scarborough, has a program, but they were attacking Howard Dean, attacking Al Gore for endorsing Howard Dean. I don't agree that the media has selected Howard Dean at all. I don't, Nelson. I believe...
I don't see how you don't believe
that. Well, let me tell you why. Because the grassroots support, before media paid any attention to Howard Dean whatsoever, the grassroots support that his organization got out there and generated through the Internet has been an American phenomenon. It really, really has. Now, I say that even though I'm a Kucinich backer at this point. I've said I will back Kucinich until I can't anymore, and then I will probably switch to Howard Dean. There are other candidates that, if Howard Dean is not nominated, that I could back, Democrats that are in this field. But Howard Dean would definitely be my second choice at this point. And I honestly believe, Nelson, that Howard Dean's organizational abilities, his staff, his crew, whatever it is, and people in this country who've heard his message and believe in what he has to say, they're the ones that created the Howard Dean candidacy. I believe that with all my heart, Nelson, and I am as much of a skeptic of media as you are. What the media are doing now, what they have been doing, is either attacking him or trying to find... look at all the articles that are out right now because he locked down some of the records as the governor of Vermont. George Bush has locked down everything, but they don't talk about that. So they go after Howard Dean, and I believe Dean has said, okay, all right, I'll release it. But I don't think that the media has promoted Howard Dean. I think they have done everything they could to break down this incredible organization, this grassroots organization that Dean put together. I think the media have tended to try to get behind Lieberman or get behind Kerry or get behind Gephardt. So on this one, Nelson, you and I disagree.
Wow. I watched the debate the other night.
Hey, let me put you on hold. Let me put you on hold because I got a break here, and I've been doing all the talking. I'll come back and we'll finish up right after this break. Stay with us.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
A liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Talking with Nelson in Syracuse, New York, about Nelson's concern about media designating Howard Dean. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make, Howard Nelson? I mean, I'm not saying you have to agree with it, but you understand.
I understand what you're saying.
Because I've watched this develop from the very beginning. And I found it fascinating what the Dean campaign has done. And
But as soon as he came onto the scene, people were already saying he was the one that is electable. Well, let me put it this way. Here in Syracuse, I'm working on the Kucinich campaign.
Right.
And as I go out and talk to people about Kucinich,
mm-hmm.
I meet a lot of Dean supporters.
Right.
They all say, I like Dean because he's the most electable.
Most electable, yeah.
He has the best chance of winning.
Yeah.
And I say to them, what about a platform?
Right.
Tell me what you like about a platform. And either they don't know anything about this platform, or they get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the phase for universal health care.
Right.
Well, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's for an expansion of corporate controlled health care, or they'll say he wants to withdraw from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true either. Here's what I want to know. Putting aside the electability issue,
mm-hmm.
I would like people to tell me what links in Dean's platform they like and they support.
All right, well, that's fair. And I think you should keep pressing the people you meet who work who are volunteering for the Dean campaign to be specific. And if they can't give you an answer, then you should come back with the Kucinich, who has been specific. I also truly believe that a lot of people who signed on early with the Dean campaign did so because they felt a connection with this man and felt like they wanted to put their energy in somebody who was not run by the corporate Democratic Party. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yes.
Okay.
But I still think I disagree when you say Dean isn't corporate.
No. I didn't say that. He has some corporate interest. I'm not saying that.
You're saying DLC.
Right. The corporate Democratic. The Democratic Party gave its soul and its bones and its skeleton, everything to the Democratic Leadership Conference, which is a corporate situation. They're Republican light. We all know that. And I think what Dean has done, I've said many times, Dean's not a liberal, and I don't think anyone who campaigns for Dean believes he's a liberal. They believe he's a moderate. They believe he's a centrist, and that's fine. But America is either not able to handle a real liberal as president and will never be able to handle a real liberal again. I mean, for God's sake, we haven't had one, a real liberal, since FDR. We've had a couple that come close, but we haven't really had one. It could be that, Nelson, that America simply can't handle a true liberal, and that's why the Kucinich campaign has not caught fire. On the other hand, you never know. You have to wait. You have to keep doing what you're doing. The Dean people are going to keep doing what they're doing. And wait and see how these primaries shake out. Nelson, I've got a boogie. Thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate your call.
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Foreign fish are moving up the Mississippi River to find a place that seems more like home. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Two species of Asian carp were imported into the United States in the 1970s to clean up algae at fish farms in some southern states. The carp escaped and got into the Mississippi River through drainage systems, flooding, and runoff. The fish are like underwater vacuum cleaners, and people in the upper Midwest are worried about what they'll do as they swim upstream. Jerry Rasmussen is a biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He says the bighead and silver carp eat huge amounts of tiny plants and animals known as plankton. Rasmussen says they're eating up the stuff native fish need to survive.
All young fish feed on the small plankton, so a species coming in and consuming huge volumes of this material obviously is going to impact the system significantly.
Rasmussen says the carp are moving north to find waters that are more like their native homes in China. The carp could enter the Great Lakes through a canal in Chicago that connects the watershed of the Mississippi River to Lake Michigan.
The southern end of the silver carp range in China is really right about the latitude of Chicago. And so we feel that the reason we're seeing this northward migration of these critters is that they're looking for more desirable, cooler water habitats that they like better. And so if they got through Chicago, through the canal there, they could potentially spread all the way far into Canada.
An electric barrier has been built in the Chicago Canal to try to stop the carp. Elsewhere in the upper Midwest, people are starting to worry about what will happen as the fish move further up the Mississippi and reach the many rivers and streams that feed into it. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat. Zebra.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Just a couple of quick emails here from our... Is Fred our Melbourne, Australia bureau chief? I think he is. Hi, Mike and Kathy. I just had a quick look at the nicedoggy.net website. What an eye-opener. How many of these creeps do you have in the United States? I will admit that there are a multitude of the willingly ignorant here in Australia. That's obvious. But there does not seem to be such a plethora of dangerously delusional ultra-right-wing ideologues. How does a country that produces the likes of Benjamin Franklin, Mark Twain, etc. end up with what appears, from the outside at least, to be a seemingly significant population of such deranged lunatics? Fred, good question. I don't know. I guess it's because of the gunslinger mentality that we've had in this country since we murdered several million Native Americans, and well, you know about that, Fred. The white people in Australia did the same thing to the Aborigines, right? Huh? Only it was, I don't think it could be worse than what white people did to Native Americans here, but I guess it's that attitude. Plus, because we are a gun-crazed society, it's all intertwined. I don't know. I'd have to give some thought, Fred, and try to come up with a coherent answer, but thanks for the email. This is from Kim. Hi, Mike. Hearing about Eric Blumrich. Now, that was the email that I read over the air tonight about the guy who put together the anti-war video who's been threatened by these thugs at... that Fred just mentioned, nicedoggy.net. Jesus. Hi, Mike. Hearing about Eric Blumrich brought me back to 1994 when my lover and I were harassed, threatened, and intimidated by right-wing fundo-fascists at our wilderness home in northern Minnesota. It started out with blown-up mailboxes, fake roadside signs naming our road Deep Throat Road. Then it progressed to gunshots at night at the edge of our property. The local Barney Fife suggested we arm ourselves, too. A few days later in Wisconsin, I bought and registered a Russian SKS assault rifle, semi-automatic with a clip that holds 30 rounds. I also got a deal on 1,000 rounds. All of it came to a sales special of $99. The rifle even has a bayonet. I waited for those blank, blank, blanks, and one night they were there at midnight shooting and hollering about fags. I locked and loaded, let off 2 clips in a row. Listening, I hear them tear up their tires getting out of there. We never were bothered again, and news around town says those crazy fags are armed. That rifle is always nearby, ready for business. I'm far left, but I'm not stupid about wanting to stay alive in this climate of hate. Kim from Minnesota and Tennessee. Yeah, that's... you did. An SKS Russian assault rifle, damn, for $99? With a bayonet? Yeah, I'll bet the knuckle draggers took off when they heard that. Rob is calling from Newtown, Pennsylvania. Rob with Op-Ed News, one of wonderful websites. How you doing, Rob?
Doing great, Mike. How you doing?
I'm getting by, pal.
You were talking before about the liberal media, and I've been thinking a lot about how the right wing has their echo chamber that is so finely honed and developed.
And very effective.
And we need to have one on the left.
Well, I don't know how you do that unless liberals can buy CBS, ABC, and NBC so that we can control those Sunday talk shows. If liberals take over CNN, again, Ted Turner is kind of a liberal. He's a gunslinging liberal, but you know, the mouth of the South, but he doesn't own it anymore. Fox is just a nest of whores. Forget Fox. I don't know how you do it, Rob. I really don't.
I think you have to think about evolution. Remember the dinosaurs, these big hulking things were replaced by little tiny mammals, little rat-like, rodent-like things.
Yeah, but the dinosaurs had a couple of direct meteorite strikes on this country, 120 million and 65 million years ago. I believe those numbers are right. And that's, you know, it wasn't because the little thin-skinned hairy mammals rose up and slew the dinosaurs. It was because heaven burped and a huge meteorite slammed into what is now the Yucatan Peninsula and wiped the bastards out.
Well, we're the hairy little mammals.
Well, where do we get the meteorite?
I think they're going to provide them themselves. What we got to do is do what we can with what we have.
Yeah, well, I agree. And I've been saying, I've alluded to it a couple of times, and I've said it directly, if the wealthy Democrats, the wealthy liberals, the wealthy progressives in this country don't put their money where their mouths are, the battle's it's over. It's lost. The marching band can take the field because the game is over.
What do you think about where this new money from Soros and others is going so far? The Center for American Progress, for example.
I think the Soros money is going to go into ads in print medium and in television. That's where the hearts and minds of Americans are won or lost. It's not, you know, the sad part is the hearts and minds are not won or lost in debates or union halls or school basements or church assembly halls where people would get together and talk about issues and listen to candidates. The hearts and minds are won or lost on the op-ed pages of newspapers, the op-ad pages, and the and television commercials. So I think the Soros money will go for that. They're not stupid. The people have put in all this money. They know where they have to put it. It's not going to be in voter registration drives. It's not going to be in get out the vote. It's not going to be in people carrying placards. It's going to be hitting the media as hard as they can. They have to buy it. Just like most liberal talk shows, they have to buy time on radio stations, or they have to work for nothing and hope that they sell ads. A lot of these hosts, we don't, but a lot of hosts do. They have to work for nothing and hope that they sell advertising in order to pay the mortgage payment and the car payments and feed the kids. And that's why so few liberal talk show hosts make it. It's not because they don't have a message, not because they are not capable of doing a program. They just can't sustain themselves, and they have to go back to whatever money-making job they had before they got into talk radio.
It's amazing how many think tanks there are on the right that are funded with tens of millions of dollars. I just dug up a new one today.
Yeah.
There's an article that Yahoo is reporting that 2004 will be the USA's best year economically in the last 20 years, now, which is a total puff piece for Bush.
Wait a minute. The best year economically in the past 20, what does that mean? I mean, what are they using as criteria? What's their list of criteria? I absolutely disagree with that. Absolutely.
Oh, I do too. But this is reported by the Conference Board.
What the hell is that?
I didn't know. That's what I said.
Is that some government? Is that a Bush government organization?
No, you type in the Conference Board on Google, and you'll find it easily.
Okay.
It's an organization. It's another right wing think tank. It's got a whole bunch of CEOs of giant corporations and
right.
Paul Volcker and people like that on it.
Well, it might.
What their funding was last year? $44 million
yeah.
1 year.
Yeah. Well, if you know, you look at the board of directors, you look at the people involved, and you know right away if it's all bat squeeze and lies and deception. And if it's a right wing think tank, it is. It might have been the best year in 2004 may become the best year for people in that in a certain income bracket and a certain socioeconomic level in this country. But for the vast majority of Americans, it's not going to be the best year. 2004 simply is not. And I don't say that because I'm a good predictor or understand economics. Neither is true. But
you know what?
It's because I live in this country and I know what's going on, and that's just absolute lies.
This whole business of the economic boom, I think it's another right-wing echo chamber push.
Sure, absolutely.
I believe that the economic boom is happening just like I believe in weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, I hear that. Rob, thanks.
Thank you, Mike. You're doing a wonderful job.
Hey, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Now, right along with what Rob just said, an email from Rich and Arlene in Royal Oak, Michigan. Mike, my wife and I, both retired, are listening to your Wednesday night program after downloading from the WhiteRoseSociety.org. You have just talked about how companies like Walmart and Home Depot are driving out local businesses. I just read a month or so ago that Home Depot has joined many other American corporations in that they have sent their billing and accounts receivables work to India, joining such notables as American Express and others. The reason that I'm so sensitive to this subject, Rich writes, is that my third son, owner of a bachelor and a master's degrees in computer systems and information technology, lost his 16-year job at Lucent Technologies to Poland, Russia, and India. He was unemployed for nearly a year before he found a job paying about 60% of his previous Lucent salary. My daughter, who has worked as a cashier for a supermarket chain for 22 years, went to night school for 14 years to get her mechanical engineering degree, graduating 2.5 years ago and still not able to find an entry-level engineering position here in the Detroit area. Seems the new engineering jobs are going overseas now. She did find two references to entry-level engineering jobs in this area. However, one required fluency in German and the other fluency in Japanese. Now her cashiering job is in jeopardy because the supermarket chain is installing self-checkout registers. My first son and his wife have 3 degrees among them, or between them. 6 months ago, they each had a full-time job and a part-time job. They are now down to one full-time job, and he's expecting to lose that before Christmas. The economy is getting better, huh? Maybe for the oligarchy. I live in a typical middle-class neighborhood in a near suburb of Detroit, and I'm amazed at how many empty stores there are in the strip malls that sprouted in the 90s. Oh, that's right, I forgot. It's all Clinton's fault. Rich and Arlene in Royal Oak, Michigan. Yeah, thanks for... And see, when Rob is talking about that, the lies that these right-wing think tanks put out, and then you get a letter from a guy who he and his wife are retired, who's living this stuff. Hell, we're going to be unemployed March 1st, right? Well, you never know. Something could turn up. Armand is calling from Bradenton, Florida. Armand, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I have what I put together here, and I think it's quite interesting, and I think it should be used.
Are you riding your exercise bicycle?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
I had to keep the cell phone charged while I was waiting.
I see. Okay, well, that's cool.
I mean, you keep me running, Mike, you know?
That's true. That's very true.
Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Here we go. When Bush makes that famous statement, "You're either with us or against us," is he really talking about when he went AWOL from guard duty in Alabama, when he illegally sold his stock in Harkin Energy, when he condemned private property in Texas so the taxpayers could build his baseball stadium, when the corporations destroy the environment, when companies pay him off for no-bid contracts in Iraq, when he gives huge tax breaks to the wealthiest malcontent in our nation, when he illegally invaded Iraq based on lies. The list goes on and on every day he's in office.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? I think that would be the perfect ads against this imposter. Just frame him like that and put his mouth up there when he says, "You're either with us or you're against us," and then throw each one of these individual items up there. There's a list is just tremendous that you could frame it with, and then put sources, but not too confusing for these program zombies that watch Fox and CNN. You know, make it simple and document it so that they're armed. I don't know what you'd call them, SS that's on the radio that's constantly blaring out lies and distortions,
yeah,
couldn't twist it around because it would be substantiated if people had the courage to seek for their own information, which they would ultimately in a real battle here of intellect.
That was a hell of a long sentence, and it's got about 5 subjects to it, and I don't know which one to respond to, Armin.
Well, I'm just trying to think of how we can remove this insane creep, in my opinion.
I understand. I think your idea is a good one. I think, what are you going to do to follow through on it?
Well, it's out there. My God, your thing goes all over the world. It's free to use, free from me. I don't want anything from it. Just the satisfaction of seeing him go back and hide in his hole down there in Crawford and leave us alone.
I hear that loud and clear, loud and clear. Thanks, Armand.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Where are we? We have a break coming. Well, let's. We got enough time to say hi to Judy, who's calling in from Lake Zurich in Illinois. But we'll have to break here in just a second. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Mike. I wanted to talk about the same talk as that man was talking about his children who were very well educated and couldn't find jobs.
Oh, yeah, the email I just read, right.
Yes. That will really make our country go backwards in technology, because if people can't get jobs in those occupations, they won't go to college for them.
Right, right.
But I wanted to talk about that. Have you heard about the Etch-a-Sketch in Walmart?
No, I haven't, and I want to hear about it, but let me put you on hold because we have a break coming. The Etch-a-Sketch in Walmart, that's a very good tease for the next segment right after this break. Let me put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll come right back and talk with Judy Do you know about this, Kathy? The Etch-a-Sketch in Walmart? We're about to find out.
His autograph, really my disbelief. I know that it was just a dream. All the covers that I see are different from the books I read. Everything is crumbling around me. Why does everything cost so much money? Somebody please help out my family. My mom needs hearing aids, new shoulders and new legs. My dad needs a break, he works all day every day. My brother needs a place and a job where he can make enough money to take care of his baby.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any
time. Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
That's
Tom Hartman Show.
Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we are talking with Judy in Lake Zurich, Illinois, about the... Now, you're going to tell us about the Walmart Etch-a-Sketch? Let her rip.
No, Etch-a-Sketch was a company in Indiana.
Yeah.
And apparently they just closed their doors to go to China.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of people are being laid off, losing their homes, et cetera. The same story we hear all over the country.
Right.
But apparently the CEO said that he had to send his business to China in order to meet the demands of Walmart.
Yeah.
For a lower price.
Right.
Now, I feel that these CEOs that are selling out workers and still living in America, by the way, living here, safely and in relative prosperity,
mm-hmm.
and apparently getting very rich,
mm-hmm.
should move to China.
I agree. I don't know how to handle something like that.
Or if they stay here, mm-hmm. they have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
For the lost work and to support those workers they put out of jobs.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about everything we see at Radio Shack, everything we see at Walmart is made in China. It's not made in China by Chinese companies. It's made in China by American companies.
Right. These CEOs are making billions.
Right. I know, and I don't know what to do about it, Judy.
I say we tax them.
Well, in a different
for public services and for the right to do business in this country.
In a different time, a different place, we would surround their houses and burn them out, which is what Pat Buchanan recommended several years ago, if you remember, to show up with the flaming torches and the pitchforks, and then he would smile and giggle, and he meant it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can't advocate violence in this society unless you're a Republican, unless
we hit them in the pocketbook, then.
If you're a right-winger, if you're a conservative, you're a Republican, your whole life is about violence. But if you're a liberal or a progressive or a Democrat, you dare not advocate violence. But again, I agree with you. Make the bastards go live where their factories are. Make them go learn how to speak Mandarin Chinese or one of the hundreds of dialects in China and live there. I agree.
Right, because they're enjoying this country the workers have built over
sure.
the years.
Yeah, and
blood, sweat, and death even.
Yep.
Our tax dollars built a safe business environment for them.
Yep.
And now they complain that they can't make enough money. I mean, give me a break.
I hear you, Judy. I hear you. Hey, thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right, you have a nice evening. Yeah, that's what Walmart does. There's a big article. I forget where I read it, but they drive. Not only do they drive down wages, this rush to the bottom, but they force companies, their suppliers, to close shop and move overseas. Nice, huh? Yeah.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like go, cool. Yeah.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A divided Supreme Court upheld the broadest restrictions on campaign donations in nearly 30 years Wednesday, ruling the nation is better off with limits on the financial influence of deep-pocket donors, even if money never can be divorced from politics. Rooting out corruption or even the appearance of it justifies limitations on the free speech and free spending of contributors, candidates, and political parties, the court said in a 5-4 decision. Plans to deploy the 1st Battalion of Iraq's new army are in doubt because a third of the soldiers trained by the U.S.-led occupation authority have quit, defense officials said Wednesday. Touted as a key to Iraq's future, the 700-man battalion lost some 250 men over recent weeks as they were preparing to begin operations this month. Pentagon officials said the battalion was highly celebrated when the newly trained soldiers completed a 9-week basic training course in early October. The graduates, including 65 officers, were to be the core of an all-Iraqi army. It was uncertain exactly why a third abandoned their new jobs, though some had complained that the starting salary, $60 a month for privates, was too low. Officials in Baghdad said soldiers were angry after comparing their pay with the salaries of other forces. President Bush found himself in the awkward position on Wednesday of calling the leaders of France, Germany, and Russia to ask them to forgive Iraq's debts, just a day after the Pentagon excluded those countries and others from $18 billion in American-financed Iraqi reconstruction projects. White House officials were fuming about the timing and the tone of the Pentagon's directive, even while conceding that they had approved the Pentagon policy of limiting contracts to 63 countries that had given the United States political or military aid in Iraq. Many countries excluded from the list, including close allies like Canada, reacted angrily on Wednesday to the Pentagon action. They were incensed in part by the Pentagon's explanation in a memorandum that the restrictions were required for the protection of the essential security interest of the United States. More news after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Arvin, California Mayor Juan Olivares had just one request of a Kern County Sheriff's deputy during a traffic stop. Don't call me dude. Olivares planned to file an official complaint with the sheriff's office, seeking to have the deputy fired for what he called disrespectful behavior. The deputy stopped Olivares in Bakersfield on November 23rd. Olivares, who was driving, said he was ticketed for having illegally tinted windows on his vehicle, and a passenger received a citation for having an open container of beer. Olivares didn't dispute the charges. He just took issue with being called dude. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, A&D presents the 2003 Biography of the Year.
Well, what an honor.
Thanks to my family for supporting me after I survived the Iraq ambush, and my fans for comforting me during my insider trading scandal. A shout out to my voice coach for helping me become America's favorite idol.
Only one will be Biography of the Year. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E, The Art of Entertainment.
Oh, it's been my fiancé for the rocks that I got. Thanks, sweetie.
Calling Law and Order. I don't mean the American ideal of justice. In this case, I'd settle for the Law and Order television show. I'm talking about a corporate story that would have made great television news, but the media missed it. Perhaps they were too busy covering George W. posing with the Queen of England on this same day to be able to cover a story about the theft of billions of dollars from us taxpayers. So why not call on fiction to give us the news? After all, Mark Twain observed, the difference between fact and fiction is that fiction has to be believable. This factual story of finagling seems unbelievable, but the fictitious Law and Order show would not have to stretch to dramatize it, for Senator Carl Levin provided all the drama a producer could want. KPMG, the accounting giant, was caught illegally designing and selling tax shelters whose sole purpose was to allow the wealthiest Americans to escape paying their taxes to Uncle Sam. In just 4 years, these rich folks dodged $1.4 billion in taxes they owed, and KPMG collected $124 million from them in tax avoidance fees. In November, KPMG was grilled by Senator Levin. In an investigative hearing, a supervising partner of KPMG's tax scam ducked and dodged, claiming he knew nothing. But Levin had internal emails, including one written by this guy, saying that the scams were, quote, designed to dodge taxes. The guy shucked and jived, trying to blame subordinates while also claiming that these were legitimate investments that only coincidentally allowed tax avoidance. But Levin leaned in, asking, did you write designed, yes or no? The guy's voice grew tighter, Levin pressed harder, the Senate room grew silent, and the KPMG man finally whined, I don't know how to change my answer. Then, in a made-for-TV moment, Levin dryly said, try an honest answer. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that would have been great television.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There is a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, no.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES, if you'd like to join in. CNN reported, as did most of the major media outlets, that nearly half of these new Iraqi army soldiers, that we are spending, about 50 times as much to train as we spend on American soldiers to train, because they are being trained by private contractors. Kellogg Brown and Root is one of them, the Halliburton Cheney Company. 300 of the 700 members of the new Iraqi army have resigned, citing, oh my, unhappiness with the terms, conditions, and pay, and with the instructions of commanding officers. A representative of the U.S.-led coalition, the U.S.-led coalition said today it's a new force and, well, we face some difficulties. God. Last month, you'll remember that the thug Donald Rumsfeld said the Pentagon and the Coalition Provisional Authority that owns Iraq were satisfied with the training and the retention rate and how things were going with this new Iraqi army. The idea, of course, is to have a 10,000-man force by when? June of next year. They had 700, now they're down to about 400. The Bush administration could not find its ass with both hands if somebody handed them a roadmap. Training a new army to do what? To invade Iran? No. To invade Turkey? No. To invade Saudi Arabia? No. To invade Kuwait? No. Syria? No. Israel? Hell no. Then why train a new army? So that the new army, trained by the U.S. Provisional Authority, can start killing Sunni Muslims or Shia Muslims or anybody else who happens to get out of line. You see, it's bad PR to continue to have American soldiers killing people. Pretty soon the Kurds are going to say, hey, hold on just a second. You're training an army? Yo, why? To kill us again? Iraq had an army. It threw its weapons down and scampered away into the darkness because the commanding officers had been paid off by the Bush crime family to do just that. All the Bush crime family had to do was to step in, develop an officer corps loyal to the fascist Bush crime family, and retain the Iraqi army. But no, Paul Bremer and Wolfowitz and Cheney and Pearl and the rest of these monstrous, bad word coming, bastards decided to fire the army after they paid off the commanders, turn 120,000 people loose on the streets of the various cities in Iraq, armed and with weapon caches. Denigrate their society, their culture, and their people. Kill their people. Destroy, bomb, and end, I believe the term was back when we invaded Iraq, end their government. End their infrastructure. Continue poisoning their air, their water. Continue denying them basic electricity, plumbing, sewage, food. And then train an army. To do what? To kill the Iraqis who didn't like this arrangement. That's what. There was a time when the People's Liberation Army of China had vowed it would never fire on the Chinese people. And then we had Tiananmen Square. And the lie was put to that promise. The Bush crime family knows that with the right pressure, you can get people of a country to kill their comrades in that country if the payoff is provided that is substantial enough. But the people within Iraq who really have influence, the mullahs, the ayatollahs, the religious leaders, are saying to the Iraqi people, resist these thugs. The thugs are us. So we train 700 of them in whatever military tactics the Bremer gang has decided to teach them, and after we train them, they resign. What do you suppose they will do with their training? Marcelo is calling from Santa Barbara, California. Marcelo, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Okay. I called you a couple of times a long time ago, but I was calling with my nickname, actually. I'm from Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And Marcelo is kind of a difficult name to pronounce.
Marcelo?
Yes.
I don't think it's difficult.
Well, some people think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, I think I can handle it.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I just have something that doesn't have much to do with what's happening right now, but I really want to know your opinion.
Okay.
Okay, you just said tonight that there hasn't been a liberal president in the United States since FDR.
Right.
And a couple of them get close. I assume you are talking about John Kennedy and Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Do I think they were liberals?
No, close to liberals.
I think they were maybe progressives. I think they were political realists. They were not like the Reagan gang or Bush 1 or Bush 2. These are all proto-fascists. But I think Lyndon Johnson, Jimmy Carter, John Kennedy, I think they were about as progressive as they could be. Lyndon Johnson and Jimmy Carter were white Southerners, and they understood. As a matter of fact, Lyndon Johnson, when he signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964, he said, "We," meaning the Democratic Party, "have just lost the white South," and he was absolutely correct.
I know Richard Russell. He lost that. He was a good friend of him.
Who?
Richard Russell.
Richard Russell from here in Georgia, yeah. Yeah, because most white Southerners, whether they were Democrats or Republicans...
Democrats.
Yeah, they were basically racist. They wanted the status quo to continue. That is,
like Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, that the Negro would know his place and the Caucasian would always be in power. But to me these were not liberals. They were as progressive as white Southerners could be. Kennedy was not a liberal. If you look at the Kennedy record, I think Kennedy there were things he wanted to do that would have advanced this country. But I don't think John F. Kennedy was a liberal. I just don't. I think he was a moderate. He was a very religious man. He was Catholic. He was a centrist. Lyndon Johnson was another one of these Southern Baptists. He was a centrist. He was not a liberal.
I would disagree about Johnson, but at least domestically, he was very liberal.
Who said he was liberal?
That's my opinion. I just finished a paper about him.
Uh-huh.
He did amazing things. He had immigration reform, Medicare, Medicaid, help for the homeless. He got more bills passed than FDR, Truman, and John Kennedy combined. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that exact.
I might be wrong.
What you just stated there,
just
no.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. But I do maintain, Marcelo, that he was not a liberal. He was a Southern progressive. He was a populist, but I don't think he was a liberal.
Because of the Vietnam War.
Say it again.
Because of the Vietnam War.
Partly. I hate to define Lyndon Johnson's entire 5 or 6 years as president just by the Vietnam War, but that was a horrible, horrible error.
But I just
maybe you and I define liberal or moderate or conservative differently from each other. But I do believe, I honestly believe that the last liberal Democrat that we had in the White House was FDR. But that just because I believe it doesn't mean it's true.
No, of course not. But I do respect your opinion a lot.
Yeah.
And, that's all I want.
And I respect yours.
Oh, thank you.
So you stay with your opinion, okay?
Okay. Yeah. And I just have a quote for you, and I want to see if you can name who said that.
Sure. Go ahead.
It's every good Christian should line up and kick Jerry Falwell's ass.
Whose ass?
Jerry Falwell.
Jerry Falwell's ass?
Yeah.
Every good Christian should line up and kick... Oh, that was Barry Goldwater.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing, huh? The guy was an ultra-conservative, and he was against the religious right.
He was, and he also came out strongly in favor of
gay
rights. Because, like a lot of people in this country, once you realize that you have family members who are gay... all of a sudden it's very difficult to maintain your bigotry, unless you're Dick Cheney Phyllis Schlafly.
Rush Limbaugh.
Then it doesn't make any difference. You could find out that your mama was gay, and you could still be anti-gay.
I have a great respect for Barry Goldwater, and, I still have respect for John McCain. I don't know if you have still any respect for him.
Actually, not a lot. McCain is a Republican. He's done a few good things, but he's a Republican. And to me, Republicans are just some Republicans are one step above demons. And McCain is one step above being a demon. Yeah. Most Republicans are demons. All right.
Oh, I agree with you.
All right. Thanks, Marcelo.
It's okay.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Call us again. Don't be a stranger.
That's okay, Mike.
All right. All right, sir. Take care.
And in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, use as directed.
So if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. Ah! People were waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
As you know, earlier this week, the new Chinese premier was visiting with Too Stupid to Be President. And it was kind of, not really, but kind of a surprise to me to see George Bush threaten Taiwan, that if they sought their independence from this regime in China, that he, George Bush, would probably drop a bomb on them or something. But I got an email from Shannon who said, I am so blanking pissed off at His Majesty George Bush. It is a sad, sad day when the so-called leader of the free democratic world invites the leader of a brutal dictatorship to the White House as a friend and most favored trading partner, then chastises a democratic nation, Taiwan, and warns that nation not to vote to officially withdraw. Of course, they've been withdrawn for decades. From the same brutal dictatorship. In other words, our leader is telling another democracy that he doesn't want them participating in democracy. China has nukes pointed at Taiwan and is trying to intimidate them, and our head of state is supporting the bad guys. This, Shannon writes, after Bush declared back in 2001 that the USA would go to any means to support Taiwan in their independence. Now, because the administration's corporate cronies are making such a mint buying cheap blank from China, Bush does a complete flip-flop. There's money to be made. Can't have free countries mucking up our profit margins. This guy Bush has finally gone over the edge. Why would a free nation allow this? We used to be against the commies, and now we're helping them dominate democratic states. Thousands of our people died in Vietnam and Korea fighting against communism in Asia. And now we're backing an aggressive, human rights-violating, totalitarian regime. Just another betrayal of democracy in a long list on King George III's record. Well, yes, that's very true, Shannon. You want to hear how simple Scotty McClellan handled it yesterday at the press briefing on Bush's hypocritical definition of democracy as it applies to Taiwan? A reporter says, Scott, why does the president not support Taiwan independence under any circumstances?
We do not support Taiwan independence. We support the One China policy, which is part of the three joint communiques. The president believes it's important to continue urging both sides to refrain from actions or statements that increase tensions or make dialogue more difficult to achieve.
Dialogue for what, Simple Scotty? The only dialogue, the monolithic 3 billion population Chinese mainland is concerned with is the breakaway, in their mind, the breakaway province of Taiwan. So what, and rejoining, forcing Taiwan back into the fold. So when Scott McClellan says that Bush believes it's important to continue urging both sides to refrain from actions or statements that increase tensions or make dialogue more difficult to achieve. Dialogue about what? A back and forth here with a reporter, another reporter at the same press briefing over Taiwan. Now, this may be a little bit difficult to hear, but let's try. The reporter begins. Scott, why shouldn't people see this as the administration picking and choosing its moral clarity when it comes to foreign policy? By opposing democracy here, Taiwan, because it doesn't suit your interests in the region, especially since China is helping on North Korea. Why isn't this kind of cherry-picking your moral clarity?
One, this has been a long-standing policy. This policy has been in place. And what the president said today was reiterating what that policy is. He was asked a question about it, and he reiterated what our policy is.
The question is, why isn't that hypocritical? I mean, you know, you're all for democracy in the Middle East and in Iraq, but the Taiwanese people see that, and then
there are a lot of matters you address around the world, and different circumstances require different action and strategies.
Well, explain that. Why the Taiwanese are being sacrificed for what? What is the larger goal?
Well, I mean, you might want to go back and look at the three joint communiques and look at that.
Yeah, you might want to go back and look at the three joint communiques. Look at that. I'm too busy and I'm too stupid, so we'll leave it at that.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Foreign fish are moving up the Mississippi River to find a place that seems more like home. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Two species of Asian carp were imported into the United States in the 1970s to clean up algae at fish farms in some southern states. The carp escaped and got into the Mississippi River through drainage systems, flooding, and runoff. The fish are like underwater vacuum cleaners, and people in the upper Midwest are worried about what they'll do as they swim upstream. Jerry Rasmussen is a biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He says the bighead and silver carp eat huge amounts of tiny plants and animals known as plankton. Rasmussen says they're eating up the stuff native fish need to survive.
All young fish feed on the small plankton, so a species coming in and consuming huge volumes of this material obviously is going to impact the system significantly.
Rasmussen says the carp are moving north to find waters that are more like their native homes in China. The carp could enter the Great Lakes through a canal in Chicago that connects the watershed of the Mississippi River to Lake Michigan.
The southern end of the silver carp range in China is really right about the latitude of Chicago. And so we feel that the reason we're seeing this northward migration of these critters is that they're looking for more desirable, cooler water habitats that they like better. And so if they got through Chicago, through the canal there, they could potentially spread all the way far into Canada.
An electric barrier has been built in the Chicago Canal to try to stop the carp. Elsewhere in the upper Midwest, people are starting to worry about what will happen as the fish move further up the Mississippi and reach the many rivers and streams that feed into it. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
on the IE America Radio Network.
To the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Jeez, where'd everybody go? We have a bunch of open lines here. 800-TALK-YES. Taxi driver number 12 is calling from Santa Fe. Yo, TD number 12, what's up?
I'm really ticked off at this garbage known as campaign finance reform, which to me is nothing more than a version of the Patriot Act that was upheld by the, in quotation marks, Supreme Court today. What the thing does is it basically cancels out the First Amendment 2 months before an election.
Well,
I cannot stand the thing. Sure, and I don't want anybody calling after me and say, oh, it takes corporate money away from the elections. I'm talking about the abridgment of freedom of speech. It basically says that anybody who wants to put an ad on the TV that says George Bush sucks is banned from doing that 2 months before an election. Okay? I don't see where it says in the First Amendment where it says that, you know, there should be no abridgment of the freedom of speech except 2 months before an election or 1 month before a primary. It is absolutely unconstitutional BS, and it reminds me it's exactly just an, like Patriot Act, you know, 1A. It's not Patriot Act 2. It's, a, you know, an addendum to the Patriot Act. Another squashing of our civil liberties, and I don't want anybody to call in and say how great it is because of the fact that it takes away money from politicians or from corporate money interests. I understand that. The sucky thing about it is it squashes freedom of speech, specifically political speech.
That was a pretty long sentence.
Basically, yeah, the Sierra Club or the NRA or the National Organization for Women cannot buy radio time or print time or TV time and say George Bush sucks because he's wrecking the environment.
Well,
because he's wrecking abortion rights, whatever it is. It basically qualifies and abridges and puts a blackout period on paid political speech, which is, in my opinion, is total BS.
Okay, can I say something?
Yes, you can say something now. I'm done.
All right. Well, in the first place, I don't believe that a non-human entity has any right. Free speech, free smeech. I mean, a union, a corporation, an advocacy group, you know, these are not people. These are non-profit organizations, or they are profit-making corporations. Who in the hell in the Constitution gave the right of freedom of speech to non-human entities? Now, having said that, I believe completely that NOW, NRA, some of these right-wing religious freakoid organizations, the Sierra Club, anybody, unions, they can do whatever they want. And the way they do it is direct mail advertising, have meetings and rallies, send stuff out to people's homes, unsolicited mail, develop websites. But when it comes to the idea of freedom of speech, first of all, when you're using mass media, you're not involved in freedom of speech ever. You're involved in propaganda, and I don't care how righteous your objective is. I would love to see some of these gutless unions stand out there in support of Dennis Kucinich or whomever. I would love to see advocacy groups like these ones being put together by George Soros with their ads on television. But if I'm going to be honest, then I have got to say that these groups do not have freedom of speech. There is no such thing. In order to have freedom of speech, you got to have a mouth. And NOW, NRA, UAW, they don't have mouths. Now, they are made up of workers, and they are entitled to get their point across. They're entitled to lobby their own people. They're entitled to seek new members. They're entitled to send stuff through the mail, buy a fourth-class postage permit, and send all you want. But I disagree with you, TD number 12. I don't think there is any such thing as freedom of speech for non-human entities. I'm sorry, I don't.
The all those groups are collections of individuals who pool their money, literally power to the people, or, you know, what the gun controllers call a collective right, whatever it may be. It is groups of individuals who pool their money to exercise their freedom of speech plurally.
Well, I think what the...
Would you like me to read you
no,
the
no,
wait,
no, 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 I've got it right in front of me. I think what the Supreme Court ruled the other day is that they were looking at the Constitution. You know, first of all, I loathe and despise most of the members of the Supreme Court. Having said that, I think in this case, even though the ones who voted to not to uphold are the ones, the four that I loathe and despise the most, but I think what the other five were looking at literally, truly, is the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution that talks about corporate corporations or organizations having the right of freedom of speech. It talks about individuals.
How they wrote the thing, and that's how they get all this pork and other crap passes, because they basically, it's like they put it on something else's back, and that's how they get all this stuff passed. I mean, the Patriot Act, this thing is about campaign finance reform, is about campaign finance reform, and like the Patriot Act is about being patriotic.
Oh, I understand.
The First Amendment does not, it says Congress shall make no law. It does not specify beyond that. Okay, Congress shall make no law of abridging the freedom of speech. Period.
It doesn't say that. It says Congress shall make no law prohibiting.
Yes. It says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion.
Abridging the freedom of speech. I agree with that. I agree with that.
So basically what they're saying is, it doesn't apply 2 months before an election. The First Amendment does not apply 2 months before an election. I will not back down on this. Congress has made a law abridging the freedom of speech 2 months before an election.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, TD number 12. You and I just disagree on that one. And I know a lot of liberals. I know TD's not a liberal, but a lot of liberals would think my position is crazy. But This idea that, in the first place, most advocacy ads from the right are lies. In the second place, most political ads from the left or the right are lies. You take a look at any Democratic candidate, any Republican candidate, when they're in the home stretch of a political campaign, and we all are saturated on our local television and sometimes national television programs with these political ads, most of them, and I know what I'm saying when I'm saying most of them are absolute lies. I don't care if they come from the Democrats or the Republicans. They're just lies because they're about the assertion of power. They're not about trying to get truth to the American public so the American public can make an informed decision. My position on political ads is that every damn one of them should be banned. There should be no access whatsoever to radio or television for political ads. Advocacy ads, campaign ads, none of it. Get it the hell off of radio and television, because radio and television can be used and is used as a method of distortion. It is not used as a method of getting the truth out. It is not, especially where it concerns advertising. And the second word in political advertising is advertising. Using the techniques that are used to sell us crap that we don't need. Everything from toothbrush to cars to clothing to jewelry, stuff that we don't need, can't afford, destroys this the environment, destroys our minds. The same techniques are used to sell us political candidates or whatever an advocacy group wants to convince the American public to agree to, whether it is using TD's number 12's examples, you know, NRA, NOW. No, keep them off. You want to educate somebody about your point of view or your politics? Tell you what you can do. Get a bunch of volunteers and go knock on doors. Hold meetings in union halls and church basements and school auditoriums. Get people who will do phone banks or phone trees. Send out stuff in the mail. Write op-ed pieces. Take the money that you would spend for an ad on television and buy an op-ad in the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Television and radio advertising distorts the truth. It destroys the truth. It butchers the truth. It annihilates the truth. You look at some of these ads for pharmaceutical products. Here's a new drug, and it just clears your head and cleans up your sinuses and stops your red, itchy eyes. Oh, by the way, then the disclaimer comes. By the way, it also may make your liver come out your rectum. It also may require you to go see your doctor every 30 days to have blood tests to make sure your kidneys aren't stopping their functions, okay? That's what advertising does. Now, if you want to play that game, TD number 12, then let's have our political ads and our advocacy ads, and at the very end, put one of those pharmaceutical disclaimers in there and say, oh, by the way, everything we just told you is absolute snot-nosed BS, but we enjoy putting it this way, and we know you're not listening to the disclaimer because we're talking very rapidly and nobody listens to the disclaimer, but everything we just said is based on half-truths, non-truths, distortions, and BS. No. Sorry, TD number 12. No political advertising of any sort on radio or television, because these are two mediums that can be used and are used strictly to distort the truth, to annihilate the truth, to bury the truth. Now, TD number 12, if you want to add, if you want to convince me to join the NRA, send me a letter. Come see me. Sit on my front porch. Get 10 of my neighbors together. Rent a union hall and talk to me about the NRA. I'll listen to you. Because if you try to BS me, then I'll challenge you on the spot. But when an ad comes on television, I'm screwed. There's nothing I can do about it. No. Sorry, TD number 12. Totally disagree with you. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Susan is calling from Stamford, Connecticut. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
I just want to tell you I love your show.
Thank you. I've been listening
for about 3 months. And the thought of you not being, actually, I listened through the internet.
Hey, I'll be someplace. Trust me.
Good, because
we just got to get past this rough patch.
I actually wanted to comment on the gentleman who just called.
TD number 12.
Yes, I completely disagree with what he said. I'll tell you, I was a member for a union for the first time starting about 8 years ago. I'm not on the job currently, but they used to send out all sorts of literature about endorsement of candidates, and I believe that they took some of our union dues and gave to certain campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you that the union is not a mouth. It's an entity. And no one asked me who I was ever for, who I wanted to endorse as a candidate, and I believe that those decisions were probably made by people higher up in the union.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
And so that's why I absolutely.
Yeah, I'm the strongest pro-union American on the planet. There are people equally as strong as I am in a pro-union attitude. If I would have been born in the turn of the century or the 20s or the 30s, I would have been one of those people on the streets getting my head cracked open by the police as I demonstrated for workers' rights.
Mm.
That's how strongly I believe
mm-hmm.
in it. And equally as strong, I believe that corporations, unions, advocacy groups have no business whatsoever using radio and television. Now, they can use other means to get their message out. I'm all for that. Like I said, hold meetings, hold rallies, do demonstrations, bring people together, talk about the issues.
Exactly.
But radio and television advertising are designed solely to distort the truth. We all know that. Everybody listening to this program that lives in this country, I'm going to talk about our international, but even the international audience,
mm-hmm.
but especially in America, we understand about advertising. It is nothing but lies and distortions. That's all it is. And it's up to us to try to sort through it. When the attempt is made to sell us things, we have got to be enough of a conscious consumer to realize that 95% of what's being directed at us is a lie and try to work through it. What do we have? 60% of the world goes to bed hungry, and we have 40 brands of toothpaste. That's crazy. That's insane. And the only reason we have 40 brands of toothpaste is because they can advertise on television and fight over this toothpaste market. We have reduced the political system in this country to two brands of soup competing, two brands of chicken noodle soup competing, and both of them tell lies. And I swear to God, the only one of the ways to get our political system back is to utterly, absolutely, and totally, and don't anybody give me this First Amendment crap, ban every single political ad from television and radio.
I agree. And I think maybe it might even be helpful if we went to a parliamentary system.
Well, that's a whole different discussion.
That is a whole different discussion.
But anyway,
I just wanted to thank you for listening to my views and having me on the show. And I love the show.
Thank you.
And it both depresses me, but it also makes me laugh like mad.
That's great. Thank you, Susan.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. No, I really believe, and that's not a new position for me. I've been saying this for years. I really have. The corruption of our political system, part of it can be laid right at the feet of these, or the reality of these radio and television ads, especially television. They're just vile, hateful, and disgusting. You know when the turning point was? It was during the Goldwater Lyndon Johnson campaign in 1964, and the ad ran once. We've all seen it. I was living in Savannah, Georgia at the time, and I actually saw it on television. You can see it on the Internet now. But that ad that the Lyndon Johnson campaign ran against Barry Goldwater, I happen to think at the time Barry Goldwater was a right-wing freak. Now, I don't know if I thought that because I had been conditioned by advertising to think it. But that commercial, the little girl sitting there pulling the petals off the daisy, and a nuclear bomb goes off behind her. That's when it all changed. That's when it all changed. And since that ad, the political system in this country has been utterly turned into nothing but pimpdom and whoredom and corrupted by these damnable ads, radio and television, especially television, but radio and TV. You want to get our political system back? Campaign finance reform? Absolutely. Get rid of every Republican in America? Absolutely. But one of the keys, in my opinion, is stopping radio and television political ads. Period. End of story.
Make sure the world's behaving right. I don't mean to bust your groove. Think it's time we made a move. Freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free tonight.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissue.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth!
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle, and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered.
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show is at its best when it's more of me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided.
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
We're about out of time. Email here on this topic from Reverend Debu. Freedom of speech is not abridged when we stop the super wealthy from buying airtime and launching major commercials. If I can't run a political ad on television, neither should they be able to. Freedom of speech is not given to people according to how much money they have. Money is not speech. Period. Yeah, and CW, Chuck W. over in Mississippi, you can stand on any street corner and voice your opinion for any candidate you want. Absolutely right. The ACLU is all pissed off about this ruling. The ACLU is going against this ruling. And, you know, you can be a liberal and not be in agreement with the ACLU 7 days out of seven. But I firmly believe that. If I want to convince somebody of a political point of view, then by God, I'll call them up on the phone, or I'll go have a beer with them, or I'll get together with, 30 or 40 other people like me that share the same idea. These political ads are damnable. They're awful. They've destroyed the system. Well, okay, so we're just about out of time. All right, I can't get anything else started here. We don't have enough time left. You got some music? You want to play some music? You don't? Well, what am I supposed to do? I can't sit here and just prattle on. I have nothing to say. That's it. I will say this. I love it when I get emails that agree with me. Especially like CW and Reverend Debu, especially on an issue like so-called freedom of speech. It's always, I don't know, for some time now, not always, but for some time it's really pissed me off. Just because I am poor, I can't get my idea out there, so what do I do? Well, the answer to that sometimes is, well, you pool your money with 100 other people and go buy a commercial. Yeah, I don't think so. Instead of pooling the money, let's just all go sit down and have a beer and a barbecue and talk about the political issues, talk about the candidates, and have the candidates come and talk to me. I don't want their damn commercial from any of them. I don't want a TV commercial from Dennis Kucinich, from Howard Dean, from anybody. You come and talk to me. You come to my town. I'll be there. You come and talk to me. Don't try to sell me your candidacy the same way they try to sell me bathroom tissue or hemorrhoid cream. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Steve Damschroeder, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall is a webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you know. I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the mic.